All right, so it was the class of 2011. Doug Gilmore, Joe Neuwendijk, Eddie Belfour. And someone just sent us a video of like 5 minutes before they went out on the ice. And Dougie's got a really sick-looking suit. Joe Neuwendijk looks like $1 million. And there's Eddie just chilling. And all the other Hall of Famers are there, right? Like Lanny McDonald's probably out there. Daryl Sittler. Bunch of Hall of Famers. Everyone's got their alumni jacket on, Hall of Fame. And
my 2 years playing for the Leafs, I loved that game because it was like you see all the people, they come by, little handshake on the way by. It's just cool to be around it.
Yeah, well, James Duthie would be hanging out there too, I'm sure. I'm sure that was a
I
thrill
didn't know
for
him,
you.
Man.
Here he is, our main man, JD. Do you remember interviewing Eddie Belfour in 2011 for the Hall of Fame game when he had a leather jacket on and bar gear?
I do. I think at the we always do it at the Friday night edition. So that shot you're talking about is the Sunday game where they or no that's the game yeah that's the Friday night game. So he would have come up and done our intermission with us. And Eddie's a legend. So, but I've had worse guys. I've had guys that. You know, at least Eddie showed up on time. There have been. It's tough to wrangle these people. You know, they're coming. They come into the building. I think 10 minutes before our pregame show starts, and they always have them on with us. And I can't remember who it was. I think it was maybe Solani in Korea, who they couldn't get to me in time. So I'm opening a show ice level, and basically 30 seconds into the show, it's supposed to be Solani and Korea for 6 minutes, and O-Dog and the guys are upstairs like having a beverage or something, and those guys didn't show up. And so basically the players were circling the ice, and I just had to keep talking for like 4 minutes. What a game it's going to be tonight. The Hall of Fame game with the Hall of Famers on hand, and the Leafs and the Habs. Two teams, both desperate for a victory. Hungry, you might say.
That's where you go with
Bob Cole.
This is when you go with the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Montreal Canadiens of Quebec.
Of the National Hockey League. I always accuse Drake of that. Whenever he's talking and he just stretches everything. There's no acronyms ever used.
You have to fill. You've got to fill. We haven't talked about that story, I guess, in Jersey last night where the Wild were late for the game.
They closed the Holland Tunnel.
And Lindy Ruff said it was irresponsible. That the tunnel was closed and the Wild were late. He wasn't happy after the game.
Dude, don't you think it's a little ridiculous? Like
that the team's late?
Yeah,
it's the National Hockey League. You would think
like
that,
honestly.
Yeah, I'll grant you that.
That's New York, though, and it's, you know, New York. New York doesn't care, I don't think. They'd get to the they'd finally get to a tunnel, and, you know, the person you go through, you put the change into. They would be like, they could care less. I remember taking my family into New York City for the first time. And it's actually a long, convoluted story where we hit a deer on the way in a rental van, and the van was destroyed. And I come into New York City, and so we're exhausted because we've had this whole episode. We didn't know if the van was going to make it. And I get to whatever the tunnel is. I guess it's the Holland Tunnel coming across from the Jersey Turnpike. And I had for whatever reason, I had all these quarters, and the girl said $4, and I tried to give her 4 quarters, and she almost jumped out of the booth and assaulted me. And that was my welcome to New York. I had like kids in car seats in the back.
Oh, yeah.
And
they expect you to know.
And she wanted to fight me because I gave her quarters.
Yeah. How dare you?
Welcome to New York.
It's so ridiculous because you're talking about buses leaving for the game at 4:15 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what time the buses leave, and it's 7:30, and they're half an hour late? Like, what the hell's going on?
Well, and if you're going over to Jersey, like, from Manhattan, we've done that trip. We were down there for the draft. You guys have done it a million times. It's 20 minutes. It should be 20 minutes, but I guess nothing's...
10 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's,
that's what it is.
Nothing's guaranteed, I guess, in New York. But, you know, at U.S. Thanksgiving, we always talk about this being a date where you can start locking things in, James, and you start to really... have enough to evaluate what teams are, what players are, and we went around the table and listed 5 different, I don't know if they're bold predictions, but maybe educated predictions based on what we've seen. And
regarding the Leafs or the entire
league? No, regarding the whole league, you know, where things are at. And I don't know if maybe we're putting you on the spot here, but is there anything that sticks out to you today that maybe you weren't prepared for 2 months ago based on what we've seen through 20 games or so? League-wide.
Well, it's funny. It is U.S. Thanksgiving has always been the time, and I don't know if this is a cliche that, you know, Gord Miller or Bob McKenzie said one time, and I've just repeated it for 20 years, which is most of the stuff I say, but that most general managers, you know, look at U.S. Thanksgiving and as the cutoff date for, okay, it's not early anymore, and this is what we have, and if we're going to fire people, this, we're going to fire them shortly. If we're going to trade guys or go out and get guys... And I think, what is the other stat? I'll get it wrong, but if you're not, you know, if you're in a playoff position on U.S. Thanksgiving, you have, like, usually about a 90% chance of making it. And if you're not, you're not, you know the odds on the other side of it. So I guess I did not expect the absolute tire fire that Vancouver was going to be. I put Vancouver and Montreal near the top of the list. I guess Montreal was maybe a little more predictable without Carey Price and Shea Weber and all the other injuries they had to start the season. I guessed wrongly that Vancouver would at least be in the hunt just because I thought guys like Pettersson, it's kind of predictable, don't you think, guys, if you go through without even knowing the characters involved. In hockey, there's certain things that are just predictable. And guys who have a great rookie season often tail off in their second season for whatever reason, and then by the third season they've usually figured it out. And that just hasn't happened with a couple of those kids in Vancouver whatsoever. They've taken another step back. So I suppose I didn't see it being that bad in Vancouver. And, you know, maybe Toronto would be a surprise on the positive that when we talked on the show, I was on was in the middle of the nightmare, which seems like a nightmare and sounds ridiculous now when it was 2-4-1 or whatever it was. But there was certainly legitimate reason for concern, and we all knew they weren't going to finish, you know, with that kind of record in the season. But I think this has surprised me that they bounced back this thoroughly and this quickly to go on this, whatever it is, 11-2 run like this.
They played really well.
That would be from the Canadian. I also thought Ottawa would be better. The COVID thing didn't help them, but it's funny, Ottawa won their second game of the year, I think, 3 weeks before they won their second game of the year last year, or something like that. And you're saying, wow, they're so far ahead of the curve. And now their record, which I, whatever it is, 4-12-1, I think, is the identical record they had last year. And their season,
Jimmy, what's that market
over.
Do? Yeah. What's that market do there, Jimmy? Like, did they stop showing up to the building?
Well, they weren't showing up from the beginning. It was a problem from the beginning, though. And at the beginning there was hope and the team looked pretty good and well, Noodles is there more often, so you see the empty seats more than me, but it hasn't been pretty, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a struggle, and the thing is what you keep hoping for is a couple things: stable goaltending and then another level from their young guys. And, you know, Norris is the only guy for me. I mean, Batherson's been in COVID protocol, and he had another step this year. You know, even the contract, we'll call it squabble or stalemate with Tkachuk, it took a little bit. He got going, but it just all hasn't come together. Timmy Stützle is 19 years old, and things seem to happen pretty easy for him last year. It's been a lot harder for him this year. So, right. You know, there has been some regression, and it's unfortunate because you kind of want them right in the mix, and how they finished is not how they've started.
It just, you know, whether you hate the Sens if you're a Leafs fan or whatever, it's always more interesting if they're around, right? It makes the rivalries better. Matt Murray is 0-5 with an .890 save percentage and a contract that is, whatever it is, 4 more years at still owed $20-something million. And again, that's the like, I still think and Gustafson's the best goalie there, and he's 3.41 and 905 or something, Noodles. So it's
it's a battle.
A
like it, I mean, if you look at Murray's got this year and two more at 6.25. And then they've got this kid, Sogard, in the minors, who's a big goaltender. He's got to grow into his frame or just, you know, kind of calm it down a little bit. Gus the Bus is a good goaltender. And then they have a serviceable guy in Forsberg who's a true pro. But bottom line, you need saves. Like, honestly, I can sit and you guys know I'm a goalie hugger. But there's times where I'm watching them like, you need that save. There's just that you can point to one thing and go, needed a save there that might have kind of changed the trajectory of how this game was going to look. didn't happen or hasn't happened yet.
It's pretty. It is pretty incredible. Ottawa, maybe not based on points percentage because of games played and everything, but they're technically dead last in the league in points right now. And I did not see that happening. That's got to be panic setting, you know, for Dorion and others in Ottawa for sure.
If I was to finish my list, if you said five things, Anaheim, and you know, this is probably stuff you guys mentioned already, and you know, Troy Terry in general, who I'd frankly kind of forgotten about since he was a hero at the World Juniors in Montreal a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's kind of crazy out of the blue to have a start like that. They'd be right up there, and I think Calgary, who I thought would be better this year, but I didn't think the way they played under Darryl for the second half last year or whatever the stretch run, that it would be like this, where they suddenly look like a Darryl team and they look dangerous.
No, they've been great. At what point in the season, maybe it's now, do we start legitimately wondering if Draisaitl can outperform McDavid in terms of points?
I think now. I think it's fair. I think we're, you know, once you get to 20 games, I think it's on. And I don't think he will. Like, if I was to put money down right now, I'd still take McDavid points-wise. If you were goals-wise, would be much more interesting. I mean, goals-wise, I think Draisaitl would be the favorite. I'm not Mystic Mike in my odds-making, but Draisaitl would be, a legit, serious favorite over McDavid on goals. Points, what is he up by, like 4 points on him right now?
Yeah, he's 3 or 4 up right now, yeah.
Yeah, I'd still put McDavid as, like, the heavy favorite on that. But it's the guy is, do you think it's a, I mean, you're blessed to play with the best player in the world, but do you think Draisaitl will never get the recognition he deserves, unless they, I suppose, win a couple of cups?
I
think what he needs to do is win a heart when McDavid's flying. Like, that's what separates Malkin. Like, Malkin's the best example. The most recent one this century.
Hasn't he already done that, Hazy?
Well, no, because McDavid, he got hurt. He was injured, and he was out for a while, and specifically at the end of the year, and that's when Draisaitl really kept chugging, and they kept winning, and that's when it got locked in. And with Malkin, when he won his heart, that was when Sid was having the concussion, and he was gone. Mm-hmm. So as far as I know, like, Malkin's got one heart. So when Crosby's been there and playing, Malkin couldn't get it. I think if Draisaitl can win a heart – when McDavid plays 80 games and has 143 points, which mm-hmm. could happen this year. I think if Draisaitl has 63 goals and is within 5 points of him, he should probably win it. You know, like, he probably should. Goals are more important. He's right there with them. And what you just said, I think, is a part of maybe the lack of respect that goes with Draisaitl. It's not just you, James. Everyone applies it. This idea that Draisaitl is so lucky to play with McDavid. McDavid's lucky to play with Draisaitl. Like, how many second assists does McDavid pick up where he just shovels it to 29?
Right.
And he goes and works his magic. You know, like, it really is a two-way street. McDavid's better. I love McDavid. I'm not opening up Pandora's box in terms of who I think is the greater player necessarily. But in my opinion, it's a clear-cut 1-2 with the rest of the league. Draisaitl is the second-best player in the world.
Trying to think of when we did, I'll get this, the evil quizmaster, I wish he was listening, because when we did our top 50 players list, which I don't know if all three of you guys voted on, sure
he was fifth, I believe, Draisaitl.
I think it was McDavid, McKinnon.
McKinnon.
Vasilevsky was four.
Kucherov might have been five, or
Kucherov was three, I think, maybe.
Yeah,
I thought, but I remember, Hayes, didn't you, I remember thinking, you put Draisaitl at three. I thought you did, Hayes.
Yes, which I went McDavid, McKinnon, Draisaitl three at the time.
Right, I remember that. I remember making a mental note of that because,
you broke it down that much.
No, it was just like, because it was so easy to go, well, let's put Matthews there because he just won the Rocket. Or we just, there was a lot of, different thought process and, I think Vasilevsky was outside, like, the fifth, top five.
He might have been six.
I feel like
he was somewhere.
Yeah, I think he was
somewhere
six.
In there, four, five, six. Yeah.
Right, it's good. It's a good argument.
I
would agree.
I just don't care about goalies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I have it here quickly.
Which is fine.
It was McDavid 1, McKinnon 2, Matthews 3, Kucherov 4, Draisaitl 5, Vasilevsky 6. So
you know, another a retro bad look at that list right now. is that Steven Stamkos wasn't in the top 50. And that's excusable by the last few years, I think. But I think we kind of forgot that he's been basically wounded, you know, 3 years in a row, and he's going to be on the top two lines of the Olympic team probably, and is, you know, belongs somewhere on that list now by the way he's played.
Well, I can tell you, I'm looking at a guy who's at number 30 on the list that absolutely should be subtracted for him, and that's Elias Pettersson. Pettersson's at 30. Yeah. Pettersson's not playing like he's in the top 75.
No, right top now, 100 probably right now at this point. He's hey, can I so change bad. The subject only because it just came on my TV there? They were doing the whole U.S. Thanksgiving turkey thing, and they were talking about sides. And I just had an awful flashback, and I've always wanted to run this by you guys. I think I've talked about it on the Rubber Boots podcast, but never asked you guys. I had something for Thanksgiving my entire upbringing that I want to know if anybody else ever had. And I'm not making a joke here. It was called Aspic. A-S-P-I-C.
Dude, shut and it up, was, man. We're it not was doing a thing. This.
You had an, it was had an thing ass with, pick?
It was tomato, like tomato soup, but in a jello form with like green no. onions and cottage cheese.
What the hell makes
talking
that?
Talking about?
Probably tastes the same if you picked your ass and smelt
specialty.
It.
So we'd have the turkey and the potatoes and then the aspic. And it was only a few years ago when my sisters and I sat down that we started to question my mother. I think it was only after my dad passed away that we got the courage to say, why the aspic? And it was finally banned after
dude,
like 45
hang on a
Thanksgivings.
Sec. Well, by the time you're seven, don't you say to your dad, R.I.P., Mr. Duthie, don't like what's with the name aspic?
No, I don't know. But you can Google it. Like Google it on your little.
Oh, I'm looking at it
right now. Aspic, aspic, yep. Tomato aspic. It's a thing. It's definitely a thing.
It's a thing.
So I'm
yeah,
not
it's
around.
Like a jello.
I have never.
And
heard
I
it looks
enjoyed,
like a jello.
Admit, like,
it's
aspic
terrible.
Was the my favorite part of Thanksgiving until I was maybe 16, and then that was when I grew into my questioning of the aspic. But I still tolerated the aspic. Until, you know, into my 40s, I think, and then finally yeah, put my foot down on the aspic.
I can't
you change
the
name
aspic.
To Deep Aspic.
It is terrible. It looks gross though. It actually looks like a gelatin, like a Jello.
It is.
With
it's like one of those. You know, you see them sometimes in the grocery store, like the Jello gelatins that have other things in them, right? But this was a Jello gelatin made of, I believe, tomato soup. And I just don't.
It's just even grosser.
No,
that is
awful
gross.
Decision. Yeah,
it's terrible.
And I green mean, onion,
like
awful.
Like who sits down and says, "Let's make a tomato jello with cottage cheese and green onions, and let's serve it on Thanksgiving next to the turkey and the stuffing."
Yeah. Clearly someone devoured that thing. Like so, obviously your mom must have been a fan.
No, it
like took
me
till I was 21
like, I think
years
she made
old.
It for me. Here, Jamie, I got an extra bit of aspic for you.
Wow.
She called me Jamie.
It took me 21 years to finally tell my mom, like, I'm just not doing the turnip. It's trash, it's garbage, and I'm never eating it again. Like, 21, every year, I had to, like, have a little spoonful of turnip.
Exactly.
It is so trash, it's not even funny.
Well, they should put a little, maybe there's a turnip aspic out there.
I'll guarantee you there is. Oh. We'll find it. We'll ask Siri or Google or whatever. It's going to be a part of the rotation next year. All right, JD, we'll leave it there, man. Look at what we're learning as a result.
That's
of this
what I
want.
I come here. I only trust you guys with these things.
Thank you.
Because you validate whether I was right in despising the aspic. And this is you're basically a three-headed Dr. Phil.
That's right. Of useless information, we are what you want. You know, we're what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you having me, and thank you for having me on.
You got it. We'll do it again soon. There he is, James Duthie, scarred as a child. Thanksgiving.
That's
aspect.
Terrible.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that before, gross. But it's legit. Like, this isn't something made up. He's being 100% serious. We'll come back. We'll recap the
aspect.